Podcasting. Podcasting. Podcasting for you. Hello, y'all. This is Scott Merrick from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach bringing you Snacks for the Brain. Today's episode number 37, brings you a brief conversation with Dr. Glenn McCombs, Associate Director of the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach. He's going to talk about summer, hence the reggae music, Summer Feeling, from Dreamweaver, an Austrian electronica artist who provides his music via the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Check them out. You can register as a listener and download your own music at a modest 99 cents a song.
Okay, let's record. Let's just talk and
Oh, this is your show.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. You're going to get me today? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, so I got you in this room here, our prestigiously decorated video conferencing suite.
Right.
This is Glenn McCombs, who is the associate director.
Yeah, that is my title.
Of the Center for Science Outreach. And we just wanted to chat today about some of the things that are upcoming for summer. This is the show that I'll announce that I'm going to go bi-weekly and longer, starting in show number 38. This will be show number 37. Be pretty brief. I'm not going to keep you here very long. I blindsided him. So, hey, you want to come in and chat, I said? And so here he is. So Glenn just got off the trail in Yosemite.
Yes.
He was out there for a week refreshing his soul.
Or something like that. Having a good time.
So were you by yourself out there?
A friend and I went out. We try to do a backpacking trip every few years. So our last was in Yellowstone, and we wanted to try to strike out to Yosemite. So we did that. Had a good time. It's a little on the early side. May, still snow.
A little chilly, eh?
Snow closes some of the trails. Weather was pretty good. They apparently had a short spring and summer came fast, but because of the snow, they closed some of the trails. However, that also improves the visibility and strength of waterfalls. So all the waterfalls were spectacular, and of course that made for a big fun time seeing all that stuff. So.
Yeah, that's great. Did you take a bunch of pictures?
Yeah, got some pictures. I'll load them up on the web.
Cool.
Saw some bears and snakes.
Oh, bears, cool.
All good kind of stuff.
I'll link to those in the show notes.
All right.
A lot of bear activity in the springtime as they get out and start.
Yeah.
Going, ooh, I'm hungry.
They're a little bit, I think they say they're a little ornery, waking up like that and being hungry. So you got to kind of watch your step.
Sort of like my teenage daughter waking up in the morning. So I guess what I really want to talk about in this show is what's going on in the summer at CSO. We're going to do, I know we got the Girls in Science camp, the GAS camp. We've got the BEST camp, the Boys Exploring
Science and Technology.
Science and Technology camp going on, and we've got the GK-12 thing still going on in the summer, right?
Yeah, the GK-12 summer workshop will pair teachers and graduate students who will partner for the upcoming academic year. So they are teamed up, and then they'll work through curriculum planning and really figure out what they want to do in the classroom.
And how many of those do we have for the summer?
Jeannie would be the best one.
At press time.
I'm going to say something probably close to a dozen, but this particular year is a little bit hazy to my knowledge because we're transitioning from the end of the NSF grant into institutional funding, so I think perhaps we're downsizing, and I think Ginny was looking to see if we were going to receive an extension through NSF.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to dictate somewhat as to the number of stipends we can make available. Mm-hmm. We're also pursuing some amount of corporate sponsorship with those so that a company could come in and sponsor a graduate teaching fellow for the academic year.
So if anybody out there has got some disposable income you'd like to sink into a very worthy cause, this is the project where we pair graduate teaching fellows with
just middle school. And the idea is that the graduate student is usually in their third or fourth year, so they're under their advanced end latter stages of the program and looking at doing their actual research project or dissertation, and that allows them a little more flexibility in time. And, of course, they have mastered content in that particular area of science expertise. So they come into the classroom with those skills and work with the teacher in translating those skills and content into a knowledge base and something tangible for the students. And typically the outcome is to have more hands-on, research-centered or question-centered science experiences for the kids, so they get to do experiments, get to figure things out. You basically implement the scientific method, ask the question, how can we answer the question, collect data, analyze results, and then figure out what the next question would be. So it's a nice way to get the two connected.
In addition to those other programs that are going on, we also have a new program called RIP.
RIP, so that's the research internship program for high school students over the age of 16. We will place approximately 25, mostly local students, exceptional backgrounds and interest in science, and place them in a research laboratory with a faculty science mentor for 6 weeks during the summer, and that runs from June 12th through July 20th. And that's more or less a full-time research job for these students, so we'll give them some amount of orientation. We will also provide breakout sessions weekly where they will be in a classroom setting with a master science teacher and a postdoctoral fellow, and that will be opportunities to kind of supplement the research experience. But 90% of the time they'll actually be in the lab, kind of a 9-to-5 deal, working towards developing their research skills and producing their own research project, so that by July 20th they will have a poster, professional quality, and they will present that in our research symposium on July 20th.
Amazing. It seems to me that this would be a seminal experience for some of these kids. Some percentage of these kids would come out of this with a real dedication toward pursuing a science career.
Yeah, and that's really kind of the whole base by which we function in terms of our Center for Science Outreach mission is to, of course, increase the interest in science, but on a more national level, we're very interested in promoting students into establishing, pursuing careers in science. So what does that mean? That means giving them fun science things to do early on in their life so that they can have that strong foothold for future reference. So now these high school students will have a research experience under their belts going into college, and so maybe they'll say to themselves, "Ah, I really kind of like that. Maybe I'll try to get a part-time job in a lab, or maybe I'll take an extra science course, or maybe I'll become a science major," and things just kind of snowball from there. So that is the intent, really, for us to not only promote science literacy, but also try to get more of our kids into science in engineering and math type careers.
This is one program I'd really like to pursue this summer and maybe get into some of those labs and talk with some of those students and give our listeners a more detailed glimpse at what's going on there. This is kind of a program that could become a model for other schools.
Yeah, this isn't by any means a new concept. High school kids are, and their teachers are constantly asking universities to get placement into labs. More often than not, on an informal basis, they just kind of cold call. And so we attempted to facilitate that more in the spontaneous sense. Okay, if somebody wanted to get a placement on campus, we would try to do that individually.
Call around,
see if somebody was available. But it just made more sense for us to formalize the program and just say, okay, we're going to have an application process. Here's the information that we need from you. We've got transcripts, college testing scores, essays, letters of recommendation from their teachers, from a community member. A lot of information to give us at least a glimpse into what type of student that is. And we're just going to run it and see how it goes. So we've had a great response by our university faculty, which is, of course, the nuts and bolts of making this thing work.
Yeah, nothing happens without those guys.
Yeah, exactly. And quite honestly, it was helpful for them to have that umbrella of support from us. They were kind of hesitant to get involved individually because they knew there were policy restrictions. We've got compliance issues and one of the interesting things that very few faculty knew is you're not supposed to have a student in your lab under the age of 16. That is just a standards policy that's university based, and so we've got to follow that. But nonetheless, those kinds of things pop up, and they're happy to have us involved to make it a good experience not only for the students but also for them.
That's great. Yay.
Yeah.
Well, I just had sort of a brainstorm sitting here that maybe we could gather some of those kids back together to do a video conference presentation next season for the video conference Science in the Classroom. It'd be interesting to have the kids talk to the kids.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'd love to get, and I have to review the roster of students that we have, but because they are local, we'll more than likely have video conference units in at least some of their schools.
Some of their schools, yeah.
So we could either generate something where they could have a video conference forum between the students, or you know, again, like you said, present to schools their own research and kind of extend the idea of communicating science, maybe even in their own neighborhood centers, to just kind of translate what they did into something that might be useful for other people, particularly when we think about the biomedical health issues and mm-hmm. so forth, that, you know, several of these kids will be involved here in our biomedical center at the university, and most of their work will have applications to health and well-being. So I'd love to see them take that next step also. We can tie all this in somehow, some way.
Yeah, that's sort of what we're about this summer too, is Jeff Hazelton with the web design, and I'll be working with you, and I'll be on it myself, trying to sort of create a set of resources, a whole bunch of different modalities, all pointing to the same thing, connecting scientists with kids. The Snacks for the Brains episode are designed in part to be resources, free video conference resources for students who are planning to interact with a scientist. So they can go and listen to a podcast with an interview with a particular scientist and sort of have a mindset before they get in it and sort of meet those scientists for the first time. So they can kind of virtually meet the scientists and learn a little bit about what they're about before they get into a video conference and chat with them.
Yeah, and I think that'll be a big plus because, you know, we can provide pre-lesson content without the help of the actual scientist, but with the podcast, you know, they're informally meeting that person before they actually interact with them. And I think that, you know, I think somehow that might relax them, the students a bit, to realize, oh yeah, I know what this guy's talking about, and I remember him on the podcast or her on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a nice opening, and I think it's going to be a very innovative way to open the door to video conference and make sure that we effectively utilize that live interactive time to its utmost potential.
One of the things I'm learning about podcasting is that some professors, in fact, Vanderbilt is just going with the iTunes University concept that's been piloted out at Stanford University, and many professors are podcasting their lectures as pre-lecture so that they maximize the classroom time.
Mm-hmm.
The lecture's already been listened to, it's been assigned, heard, and then the students are in a position to go in and ask questions about that. So maybe we can even sort of broaden and deepen the reach of these video conferences by having some sort of pre-resource.
Yeah, I think a lot of things that happen on the college level are easily translated into at least the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other possibilities this fall with video conference is for us to actually offer an advanced science elective as a distance learning course. And that distance learning course will have a web component as well as an IVC component.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a base of postdoctoral fellows here in the medical center who are looking for teaching opportunities. They want to essentially include that experience on their CVs. Obviously, to move into academia, you will have teaching responsibilities. However, here at Vanderbilt, there are really no teaching assistantships, so teaching experiences are limited. They're very interested in working with the Center for Science Outreach in developing these distance learning courses where they could potentially be team taught so that they're not required too much time in terms of managing classrooms and so forth. But it again is an opportunity for them to get their experience, and we can do that in a very, not so much leisurely, but at least convenient way for them. They can walk up a couple flights from their lab, come into our virtual studio, maybe do a podcast with Scott for some pre-lesson content, work with Scott and Jeff to develop some web lessons, and then just step into our studio and do the live interactive video conference for some head-to-head discussion and so forth. So I hope that possibility turns out. I think it's kind of a next logical step for us in terms of giving concrete content to predominantly the advanced high school kids that may not be able to get that any other way.
Mm-hmm. And right, the video conferencing interactions that we have established, or that you have established over the past several years, the programs are just getting stronger and stronger. And there's a fine line separating a video conference interaction from a video cast or a vidcast, or what they sometimes call a vodcast. So it could be that we can get into the business of providing those to a more broad audience rather than just with the students we interact with using videocast.
Yeah, I think you know, multimedia has its place in getting this content and curriculum to the students. I've been in distance learning and science outreach for a lot of years, and I've gone through the hardships of technology and you know, the constant you know, somebody give you a call from some rural county telling you that, oh, I've got a blue screen, what's wrong? And, you know, we troubleshoot it for days and days, and Bell South runs out there, and on we go, and we find out that the guy that cut the grass during the summer ran over the ISDN line. you know, so I've been,
that's an actual story.
Yeah, it's true. I've been there, and I'm happy to see it go forward. And I think we just need to keep pushing the envelope in terms of providing that content and making use of this as a tool to get that content and get that science information to these students.
As our time was running short, Glenn reminded me that there's another program running at the same time as the student program. The summer is not just for students. So there is a concurrent program along with RIP?
Yeah, that's the RET program. It's a research experience for teachers. And my understanding is we're going to bring in about eight high school teachers to work with physics and astronomy. Vicki Metzger, my colleague here, is the director of that program. And we will have some amount of overlap in that the high school students and the high school teachers will spend their breakout sessions together on Fridays.
Oh,
no. So there'll be some amount of interaction there, but the teachers will get an extra breakout session every Tuesday morning, which they'll do more teacher-intensive kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. The Friday sessions will be more research, science-centered kinds of things that apply to both groups.
And those will take place in the labs, or?
Those will be outside of the lab. Mm-hmm. Standard Friday morning, kind of 8 to 12 deal, and then the afternoons, students will be back into the labs and kind of brushing up, you know, to get back to Monday.
So, oh, great.
So again, those two programs are running concurrently. They're working as dual or independent programs. We're bringing those two groups back together to kind of learn similar things. And also, I think we hope that the teachers and the students will kind of feed off each other. Teachers don't necessarily want to be embarrassed in front of students, so they'll maybe try a little bit harder to keep up with the content.
a little subliminal motivation. Well, that's great. And then we have Harvey Sperling's get-together for directors of independent schools all over the nation.
Yes.
And that'll be at Peabody, and I'll probably do another show just about that.
Good.
Maybe get some audio at that. It's all about science, and it's all about encouraging students to at least learn about the scientific method and perhaps pursue careers in science. So Harvey's putting a lot of work in on that.
Yeah.
I couldn't let Glenn go without asking one question. I'm very, very interested in maintaining a balance in life. And I wanted to ask him what he was going to do over the summer in order to sort of take care of himself. Here's what he said.
Well, I actually am going to spend more time on campus this summer to direct the research internship program, but I will hopefully do another leg of my Appalachian Trail hike. I got about 700 plus miles in last summer, which is about a third of the way. It's like 2175, I think, as of last year, but it seems to get longer every year.
That's a lot of walking.
Yeah, it's a lot of walking. So I hope to do a little bit in there and maybe get some sailing in and, you know, just try to do some of the outdoor things that I like to do while the weather's good.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us today, and I'm going to work on the post-production and get this posted so everybody can enjoy your conversation, because I certainly learned something, as I do every time I sit down with Glenn McCombs.
Thanks, Scott.
All right.
Well, y'all, that's all she wrote for episode number 37 of Snacks for the Brain. As always, check out the website at www.vanderbilt.edu/CSO for more information about what the fine folks at the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach are doing to connect working research scientists with K-12 students worldwide. See ya! See ya.